McKinsey just published a huge document talking about the gap in women's health. It's a $1 trillion gap. And so the market is poised now for the entry of these type of technologies.
Welcome to the Swisspreneur Show, a podcast about startup stories and learnings from experienced entrepreneurs. If you enjoy listening to our show, make sure to follow the podcast and leave a rating. And now, here's your host, Sylvain.
François, Daniel, a very well welcome to the Swisspreneur Show. It's a pleasure to have you here today.
Thanks, Sylvain. It's a pleasure to be here and to talk to you today.
Thank you, Sylvain.
François, you are the founder of BioNexus, and Daniel is helping you along the process. We're going to talk in a second about how you guys met. But together, you actually transform healthcare through real-time diagnostics. So, of course, we first want to know what brought the two of you together. How did you meet?
Yeah, it's actually quite a funny story, Sylvain, to be honest. Me and Daniel have got one big passion, and that's a passion for wine, believe it or not. So the first time we met was actually at a wine show through a mutual friend, and we got talking, and, you know, I started seeing, you know, I was telling Daniel about the journey that I have with BioNexus, and then he started telling me about his journey that he's going through in his life. And the two resonated, and ever since then we've been actually very good friends and working and helping each other to realize this dream of trying to transform health diagnostics into wearable real-time diagnostics, for especially for women's health.
And Daniel, then you got a bit closer than just talking and probably hopefully testing some wine together. What happened then that got you closer and let you embark on a journey together?
Well, that's right. After I met François, you know, the conversation became really relaxed. So we started to share experiences. I come from science, right? So I was a scientist in a past life. And we started to discuss also my journey in vitro fertilization. I think this is probably one of the common touch points that we now speak on a daily basis. And I got very interested in understanding more why he wanted to build this. And then it made a lot of sense for me to help and to contribute, basically, in this journey, because this is actually a solution that could help me, but I didn't have it, let's say, 5 years ago when I should have actually used it. And here we are. Yeah. So it has been very exciting.
So maybe to give people a better understanding what problem that you are tackling with BioNexus, can you share a bit about the problem you're just describing, Daniel? 5 years ago, a solution you wish you had but didn't exist yet. What was the problem that you were facing 5 years ago?
Absolutely. So 5 years ago, basically with my wife, we were still young, if I can say that. Let's say sexually young, just to be more precise, right? Or reproductively young. When we used to go to the gynecologist, everything was okay, no time, let's say, to hurry or to rush into things. And then time starts passing by and you realize that we cannot have a baby. So at some point, you start asking for solutions and you realize that there is only one more step to go for, which is in vitro fertilization. So that's expensive, right? And I know François is going to speak about this more in detail because he's actually coming from the field. So when he told me about what he was doing, I said, okay, I need to be close to this, either to contribute work in it or test it myself, because this can really benefit us at some point. But I let François probably expand a little bit more on the actual solution that he's building.
Yeah, and I think just to build on what Daniel's saying about the problem, you know, what Daniel's saying is so common, you know, that's happening in the world today. We have declining fertility rates that's happening in not only in Switzerland, but in the whole of Europe, in the whole of the world, actually. And this is a huge issue. And I don't think people realize that. People always talk about overpopulation and things like that, but they don't realize that actually fertility rates are really plummeting. And it's a huge issue. There was a very interesting study that was published recently where they spoke about it's not that people don't want to have children. It's that what happens is you wait too long and the options run out, really. And so that really ties into Daniel's case there, is that there were no options. So they go to the gynecologist and the gynecologist says, you know, well, you're still young, you know, just keep trying. And then 5 years passes and you go back and then they say, oh, okay, maybe we should try something else. And then you end up at in vitro fertilization. And that process, it is successful and it's really done a lot for medicine, but it's very emotional. It's a long journey. It's very difficult. It's super expensive. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to build a solution that fits in between that, right? So what is the option that exists for couples when they go to the gynecologist and they have to go for assisted reproductive techniques? It really doesn't exist anything, right? And so that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to build a solution. So what we're trying to build is a patch that goes on your body. It's a wearable. It has microneedles, sits in the interstitial space, and it measures the fertility hormone, luteinizing hormone, in real time continuously. And so the best way to think of it is like the diabetes meters. So I don't know if you remember when the diabetes meters came out, it was a big thing. You could put this patch on you. All of a sudden, you could have your glucose measurement in real time. And in my previous life, I've worked for the company that launched the world famous diabetes meter now. And I saw the impact that it made on people's, on patients' lives. And I always thought since then is, why can we not have that for hormones or for other biomarkers that exist? And today the technology exists where we can actually do that. So that's where we are.
Fantastic. I think that's a wonderful motivation, also history that you both just shared here. And you talk about the timing, the technology is here right now to make that possible. Why else is the timing good to be working on this right now?
It's a great question. So, and I think the timing is good now because I think people are starting to realize that fertility is becoming an issue, right? And so the market is ready to accept this. There was I'm not sure if you listened, there was a Women's Health Summit now at Davos recently at the World Economic Forum. McKinsey just published a huge document talking about the gap in women's health. It's a $1 trillion gap. And so the market is poised now for the entry of these type of technologies. So we believe that we're at the right, as the crest of the wave is coming up, we're hopefully sitting with our surfboard ready to go down.
I love that. Fantastic. And to make that happen, you also need a team, of course. The two of you found together to embark on this journey. So I also wonder, what are the skill sets that both of you bring to the table to make this a success?
I myself have been in different fields in Switzerland, mainly working in for pharma. So I used to work for Roche in the past, literally in the lab looking at antibodies. And then I moved towards medical data. So what I've been doing over the past 7 years is, first of all, I had a startup in the field of genetics. That startup really opened up the potential for me to understand that data is very valuable. There was genetic data, of course, that was limited to only looking at your genetics. But after that, I moved to another company where I was working on more broad medical data. So I'm talking about electronic medical records, clinical images, and everything that happens in clinics. So that's basically my skills that I hope at some point Francois and Bionexus can actually benefit from.
Yeah, for sure. And myself, thanks, Daniel. Myself, I've been working in probably the women's health field now for the last 15 years. So I've worked with some of the leaders in the women's health space, like the German Merck, Merck Serono. They have the fertility portfolio, and I worked for Abbott. So we helped to launch the Freestyle Libre, which was the CGM. Like I said, I saw the impact, and then I moved over from South Africa. I'm originally South African. I moved over to Switzerland about 6 years ago now, and helped Abbott launch their oral progesterone globally. And you know, it's amazing when you work in women's health for so long, you see all the pain points, and you see the underinvestment that gets happened in that area. So so it's definitely an area which is poised, I think, to where some value can be brought in from startups and entrepreneurs.
I love how you show where we're falling short as a society, that women's health is underrepresented and underfunded. Nevertheless, just from the outside perspective, I'm talking to two guys here. Why are you the right guys to work on the women's health topic? Because that seems a bit off, right, from the first look at the team.
Yeah, for sure. It's a very good question, and it's something I think about a lot. But I've thought about that question, and I thought, you know, why should it limit men to? You know, we need everyone to work in women's health, and of course, we would never be able to understand a woman's hormones or her body or how she experiences life. But I can see with my own mother, for instance, when my mother went through menopause, I saw the havoc it wreaked on her. On her behavior and the way that she had to deal with it, and that there were no real solutions, you know. I still remember when she went to the doctor and he said, you know, ma'am, I'm sorry to say, but this is just life, you know, and you just have to go and deal with it. And I thought that made me actually super angry. And I don't want to accept that. I don't want to accept that there are no options. You know, I can't speak for Daniel, but at least that's where my passion comes from, is watching, working in the field and then seeing the impact that it has on women.
Well, you know, we all have moms. So my case is exactly the same. I also witnessed that. But also, you know, in the reproductive life of me and my couple, we see that there are no options, and the option is expensive, which is in vitro fertilization. And once you start witnessing all the ups and downs that this technique has, how much time availability you need to have to be able to comply with this process, and all the emotions that go through, it becomes like if you were machines trying to have a kid, right? And well, we are thankful for that, but at the same time, it puts just burden on the emotional journey as a couple. But we'll probably talk about more in deep as the conversation goes.
Yeah, I also want to talk about not only your personal motivation, thank you for sharing these words, but also about the milestones. What are some of the recent or biggest milestones that you have achieved together as a team with BioNexus so far?
So I think our biggest milestone is starting the project, really, with we're working with one of the top universities in the world. And so we've partnered with them, and that partnership, I would say, has been our biggest milestone, is to be able to identify the technology and then to be able to take that technology, that proof of concept, and to start this development of this minimally viable product that we will create to be able to test in real life, right? And so that for me has been the biggest milestone right now with our company.
No, you talked about in vitro fertilization as being expensive. It's sort of a substitute to your solution, or sort of a last resort, I will probably put it. How does the competitive landscape look like in the market? Do you have any competitors or substitutes that you observe closely? And if so, how do you differentiate from them?
Yeah, sure. So there are some competitors, I say, when you're measuring hormones, right? You've got the classic competitor, which is a lab, which is not, I would not say it's really a competitor, because I don't see many ladies going and taking a blood measurement to see whether they are ready to ovulate. So you have the hardcore lab side, and then you have really on the other side of the spectrum, like urine strip analysis, you know, where you can urinate on a stick. And then it will give you maybe a smiley face or a non-smiley face or just a normal face. So it doesn't give you any quantitative data, right? And then you have somewhere in the middle, you have the at-home fertility monitors, which is something that's been launched recently, which is also urine-based. You take a stick and you put it in the little box, basically, and it gives you some sort of concentration. This is quite expensive. And also, it's not that convenient, right? Because you can't really take it with you. You have to do it at home. And so we sit somewhere really in between that, where you have real-time diagnostics, so real-time measurement that's happening continuously on the body. There is one other company that I'm aware of that's doing this type of technology, but they are doing it in some other field of medicine. So really, I think the ocean is quite blue at the moment. There's not so much competitors there. I think the other thing with our solution is that our grand plan is not just to measure fertility, but in the future to be measure every single female hormone. So follicle stimulating hormone, luteinizing hormone, estrogen and progesterone on one patch in real time. And that, we spoke recently to a professor who runs one of the biggest IVF clinics in Europe. And he said that that would be a game changer in gynecology. So that's really where we want to go. That's the big plan. But first, we have to chip away at the beginning steps to get there.
I personally, you know, in my journey, we have used the urine strip, right? So we know how that works. This is something that has to be in the morning, and then the woman basically has to pee and pee and pee in it every morning until the face is smiling. The problem with that is that you as a man, you're not necessarily included in the actual definition of when to have intercourse based on that measure, on that signal. We are all told, you know, during the process of in vitro fertilization that you need to have ejaculation 2 days before you actually want to have that ultimate intercourse to be able to have a baby. So you are, as a husband or as a man in this scenario, waiting and waiting and waiting until the process is optimal. So you cannot really predict. So, you know, I'm coming also from a data angle. If we have data to predict when to have that ejaculation to really time perfectly the moment you have to have that ultimate intercourse, first of all, it will be more effective, scientifically speaking. And I, as a man, would be actually much happier and much more engaged in this.
And I think to build on what Daniel's saying, you know, the engagement between the couple is important. It's not just one or the other, right? You're in this together. And so you have to do it successfully together. And that's something we really want to look at is how do we engage both the man and the woman in the whole process, right? So I think that's very important. And I think it's something that's very overlooked.
Absolutely. And I wonder, from both of you individually, let's see if you say the same thing, but what has been the toughest challenge? If you could just pick one, the toughest challenge that you had to overcome so far along your journey.
I want to say funding, but I'm sure that's everybody's toughest challenge. I think, you know,
especially now.
Yeah, for sure. The market is quite interesting at the moment. But I think what I also want to say is it's a very big idea. And so sometimes I see, you know, when I look in the market, it's hard sometimes to translate that idea. So to see the big vision, right? I think we live in an age today where it's all about now, it's all about instant, it's all about it has to happen, you know, in the next quarter, it has to hard numbers. And I think we need to give room for entrepreneurs or for startups that have big ideas and big plans. And find a way to enable them, right? I think it's great that multinationals do research, you know, with big budgets, huge clinical studies, huge development. But I think it's also important that we encourage people to be able to, not only in the medical device space, but also in the biotech space, to be able to branch out and to do these things and to enable them to realize these big dreams. So to me, that's kind of the challenge at the moment. I don't know, Daniel, maybe you've got something else to say.
Well, definitely funding is one of them. But I think the challenge that probably you already almost solved is to build all this plan, engage all the stakeholders that needed to be engaged in this process with this top 10 university, have found the technology, understand the potential, and have built all the scaffolds, you know, projections and operative models, financial models that will actually get us there. So that, to me, gave me confidence and the trust that actually you can get us there, and I think that at this early on stage of the company, having this clear view of where we are going is very rewarding, I have to say. It's very nice to have. I used to be a CEO in the past, and sometimes you're in the dark. Probably your past experiences, Francois, show us how the reproductive industry is going and what it needs now. So that's basically the toughest challenge I see that we have overcome.
Both of you mentioned fundraising. You are currently fundraising also through the Swisspreneur Syndicate. And I just wonder, how much money are you looking for in total, and what do you plan to use these funds for?
So thanks, Sylvain. Yeah, and we're glad to be part of the syndicate. Thank you for giving us the opportunity. So currently what we're looking for is 900,000 Swiss francs. And this money will be used primarily for the development of the minimally viable product. We're looking at developing 100 products that will be used in our advisory board setting with the clinics that we are working with.
Fantastic. I love that. Very clear milestone. That's always a great part of a fundraising story.
Thank you.
Yeah, for anyone who's interested in learning more about BioNexus and studying your pitch deck and investment memo, etc., they can sign up to the Swisspreneur Syndicate Deal Flow newsletter on our website and then make their own investment decision after checking all your material. So to wrap up the conversation today, guys, I have some rapid fire questions, three questions, and I want to hear both of your answers. Let's start with Daniel. What was your summer job as a teenager?
Summer job as a teenager? No, I actually didn't have. Coming from Colombia, and my father, he actually forbid me from just giving my time away for some Colombian pesos. He said, no, you have to study. Actually, I didn't mention that in my introduction. I studied physics originally, and I had a goal to come to Switzerland, and I ended up at EPFL in Lausanne after that.
I'm not as glamorous as Daniel. Unfortunately, I worked in like a burger store, and I still remember I lasted 1 month, and I got fired, actually. So the guy said to me, the owner at that time, he said, you know what, Francois, you're more of an accountant, doctor, lawyer type of person. This job's not going to work for you. And that was it. Because I tried to reorganize the way he was doing the job.
That sounds like a difficult endeavor.
So that's my story of my summer job.
And Daniel, what are you most proud of in your life?
Just I think to be a nice person, to be able to contribute to what people need. During my startup in the past, you know, it gave me the experience that rare diseases needed to have data, needed to extract all the information that is inside our bodies and bring it to surface to enable medical doctors to make decisions. And I think that this is what BioNexus is doing. So this is why I'm super happy to be part of it.
Great. What are you most proud of, François?
So, Vanessa, it might be a bit cliched, but I'm most proud of my family. We're very close, and my brothers, they live around the world and they all have their own projects and their own things that they're doing. And I'm extremely proud of them and what they've achieved in their lives.
I think that's beautiful.
So
great. Yeah. And the last one for both of you, what is a surprising fact that people don't know about you? Let's start again with Daniel.
Well, there is not much. Probably I have said everything to everybody that I know. But maybe I still have not set the plans that I have for the next 20 years of my life. But at some point, probably people will know it. Hopefully, you know, next will be
exactly. Well kept secret.
Exactly.
What is it for you, Francois?
Yeah. Well, it's probably a little bit embarrassing, but I'll own it. It's okay. I'm kind of a Lord of the Rings nerd, to be honest. I love the Lord of the Rings. I've read the book since I was like, I think 6 years old, I started reading. So I'm quite deep into that fantasy world.
Amazing.
I didn't know
you
that.
See, perfect.
Yeah, you didn't. Perfect. So I really thought about that, but yeah.
Amazing. Daniel, François, thank you so much for coming on the show. Good luck with the upcoming fundraising, and we're really happy to have you on the Swisspreneur Syndicate. And I encourage anyone who's interested in learning more about your company and your journey to sign up and check out your material. All the best, guys, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Sylvain. It's only a pleasure.
Thank you very much, all.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, you can support us by rating our show on Apple Podcasts. This way, we can reach an ever-growing number of aspiring entrepreneurs.